Unrest in the Middle East. The economic crisis in Europe. Iran threatens Israel. The moral decay of America. What are the prophetic trends, and why is prophecy important? Stephen LeBlanc discusses these issues and the events surrounding the return of Jesus Christ. And now for World Watch Today, Stephen LeBlanc.
Why do we watch world events? Why is it so important to be aware of what's taking place in Israel, Iran or Syria, Germany, the Vatican, or even tiny little Lebanon? We need to look at the world, what's happening in the world, compare it to what we see through the lens of biblical prophecy. And when properly viewed, watching world events creates a sense of urgency, which is very important. I did not say a sense of hysteria. I said a sense of urgency. So we view world events and prophecy, understanding that God wants us to maintain this sense of urgency, lest we fall asleep or become lukewarm. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28, it talks about the need to eagerly wait for Christ's return. Not just passively wait around, but eagerly wait. And Jesus was emphatic with his followers that they should hope for his return, expect his return, pray for his return. In addition, our enthusiastic anticipation and excitement of that return, it will intensify as we see more and more world events fulfilling Bible prophecies, especially those that point to the increasing nearness of Christ's return. So we have to stay alert. Watching world events helps us to stay alert. And prophecy is not meant to be some form of entertainment. It doesn't belong to the realm of some computer game. It's not some Hollywood movie. Prophecy is serious. Prophecy is comparable to a warning. A warning from a loving parent toward his children, where a parent might say, if this terrible behavior doesn't stop, I'm going to have to punish you severely to get you to see the light, to get you to change. Prophecy is about repentance. Did you hear me? Prophecy is about motivating people toward repentance. So when you think of prophecy, think of a warning. Think of punishment. Now, it is true, also it is true, there are uplifting prophecies about the kingdom of God. But so many of the prophecies you find in your Bible are there to warn you. They're there to warn me. They're there to warn the nation. And Jesus Christ tells us that all of us, even though you may consider yourself to be a Christian, he still tells us you need to pray that you would be worthy to escape these things. He's talking about all the horrible wars yet ahead of us. He's talking about future pestilence. He's talking about great suffering. He's talking about a great tribulation that will eventually engulf the United States in the years just ahead of us. Now, there's a very important scripture. It's found in Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. In one translation, translate this verse, Luke chapter 21 and verse 36, this way. But stay awake at all times, be alert, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Don't assume that everything's okay, that you'll automatically escape the great trauma, the great suffering that is ahead of us. You need to stay close to God through prayer. You need to be overcoming. You need to be putting sin out of your life. And you need to be obeying Jesus Christ. You need to be keeping the commandments of God to the best of your ability. Did you realize that prophecy is inseparable from Christ's gospel? For the simple reason that the gospel is prophetic. I said the gospel is prophetic. Now, most people don't understand this, and this is the third time I'm going to say this. The gospel is prophetic. Now, the gospel is the good news about the coming super world-ruling government, which Jesus Christ will establish on earth. Prophecy reveals that there is bad news ahead of us, that we're going to see many, many more wars. We're going to see ethnic cleansing, pogroms, mass murders. We're also going to see famines and droughts. We're going to see disease epidemics, earthquakes, floods. And of course, there are going to be signs in the heavens, all of which are designed to cause men to change, to repent. Remember, prophecy is primarily about repentance. Now, the prophecy of the times of the end, we're told in the book of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, and this is a frightening prophecy. And it says, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, that at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. Will you be ready for this time of trouble? Don't automatically assume that you're going to escape from the future time of trouble. Don't be so arrogant. Again, we need to go through this prophecy very quickly. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, where it says, at the time Michael shall stand up, this great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, over the 12 tribes of Israel, Michael stands guard, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was there such a time of trouble in all the history of the world. Now, there's a very good chance that sometime in the future, most likely in the lifetime of many of you listening to this program, that time of trouble, that great tribulation will begin. Now, Jesus Christ said, repent and believe the gospel, believe the good news. You can read about this in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. Now, don't ever forget that the ultimate climax of all prophecy is the coming of the kingdom of God, the second coming of Jesus Christ. But repentance and belief in the gospel, those two go together. Where's the repentance? So many people who go to church every week, the repentance, to be blunt, the repentance in their lives is very shallow. And remember that Jesus Christ talked about the kingdom of God again and again. He would go throughout the towns and the villages in the area of Galilee, teaching and preaching about the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, what takes place in that kingdom, what are the values of that kingdom, what are the laws of that kingdom. And of course, there are many parables about the kingdom of God. He preached about the kingdom of God. Now, many people hear about Jesus Christ, but you don't hear that often, too many people talking about the message Jesus Christ taught regarding that kingdom. But the Bible is filled with illustrations, examples, information about the kingdom of God. Now, you need to phone us at that toll-free number. We'll send you our special brochure. It's very simple, very clear. We give you all the scriptures concerning the 21 astounding facts about the kingdom of God. Many people don't really know the gospel message that Jesus Christ taught when he was in Galilee. The message about the kingdom of God. We give you 21 astounding facts about that kingdom. We'll send this to you free of charge. So phone us at that toll-free number, which is 1-877-449-6753. Ask for 21 facts. We'll understand what you need. Again, that toll-free number is 1-877-449-6753. It's an article about the 21 astounding facts concerning the kingdom of God. As well, we'll send you today's broadcast, which is message number 126. And now to current events. There's a feeling around the world that the world is unraveling. This is especially true as we watch the explosive Middle East. One correspondent for a major international newspaper said this. He said, the center of the Middle East has been raped and turned into a whirlpool of competing forces. Now, that's a brutal description to say that the Middle East has been raped. But then again, the Middle East is extremely violent. Between the Lebanese and Iranian borders, we're seeing a massive leadership vacuum, with different factions vying to fill that vacuum. When you look at the Middle East, you observe a sea of chaos. Now, the following nations are mentioned in biblical prophecy. This is why we pay attention to news coming out of the Middle East. First of all, Syria. Syria is in the grips of a hellish civil war. In the past 5 years, that civil war has claimed the lives of 500,000 Syrians. 500,000 Syrians have been killed, and another 80,000 have died due to a lack of basics such as clean water and health care. and that we have Iraq. Iraq is fractured and not really one country anymore. Iraq is a shattered collection of tribal enclaves. The ISIS takeover of most of the Sunni areas of Iraq created a major security situation in that nation. And remember, Iraq is mostly Shiite, a critical friend of Iran. And Iran is desperately trying to unite the Shiite factions in Iraq. Then we have Libya. Now, Libya is mentioned in biblical prophecy. Libya right now is being overwhelmed with militia violence that benefits from transnational jihadists. And even ISIS now controls sections of Libya. This is very dangerous. In essence, there's no government in Libya to control the country. Different groups are vying to fulfill the leadership vacuum in Libya. We have Egypt, which is severely weakened. This is dangerous. Remember that Egypt is the largest, in terms of population, the largest Arab nation in the world. Now, the Arab Spring unrest continues below ground. Now, the chaotic and short-lived democratic experiment in Egypt did not work. And currently, we see President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. He's battling a bad economy. He's trying to keep the country together. He's trying to suppress jihadist unrest. Egypt is far from stable. And let's not underestimate tiny little Lebanon, population 5 million. Lebanon's a powder keg. Lebanon is a mosaic of religious sects. So this little country to the north of Israel boasts 18 officially recognized religious groups, all vying for political power. And of course, there is Iran. There are presidential elections coming up in Iran in 2017. That's not that far away. Now, Iran is heavily involved in Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon. Actually, it's bogged down in regional conflicts and faced with renewed militancy at home. Iran is looking to shore up its military strength. And recently, there was a major political move made within the nation of Iran when we saw that the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, its leader, Major General Mohammad Hossein Bagheri, has taken charge of Iran's military establishment. This is a significant move, and it indicates a heightened security threat to the country. You have to appreciate that this particular major general is considered to be a hardliner. He's been elevated in position within the security apparatus in Iran. Iran is already heavily invested in Syria and in Iraq, and is trying to extend its reach into sensitive areas of the Gulf, including Bahrain, Yemen, and Saudi Arabia's eastern province. But as Iran tries to enhance its covert affairs beyond its borders, it also is forced to heed its security weaknesses within. There are security issues within Iran. Attacks in Iran tend to go underreported, but the country saw its fair share of militant activity over the past few weeks in the Kurdish-concentrated northwest. Iranian Kurds clashed with the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. I'm just pointing all of this out to you because Iran is seeing a resurfacing of internal security problems. And then we have Jordan. Now, Jordan has managed to remain a bastion of stability for now, largely through the deft maneuvering of its leader, King Abdullah II. But the king has to contend with different Muslim Brotherhood groups within Jordan. And these Muslim groups are becoming more problematic. There are increasing tensions simmering just below the surface in Jordanian society. A significant portion of Jordan's population subscribes to Islamist political beliefs. So it wouldn't take much for Jordan to unravel, especially if something happened to King Abdullah. Then we have Saudi Arabia, which has recently embarked on a path of unprecedented change. Now, most people in the United States don't realize what has recently taken place in Saudi Arabia. Now, the Saudis are under tremendous pressure to maintain stability at home. You have to take a look at the whole region of the Middle East, because the whole region around Saudi Arabia is in the throes of a massive convulsion. Saudi Arabia is just trying to maintain security and stability. And the Saudis are having financial problems due to the low price of oil. They get most of their revenue from the sale of oil. So they've come up with a new program of reviving their economy. We'll talk a little bit more about Saudi Arabia later in the program. And then there's ISIS. ISIS still is the single largest force in the Syrian-Iraqi theater, though it is losing ground in Syria and Iraq. But what is disturbing is that ISIS is expanding its activities in countries such as Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Yemen, and Libya. At the same time, ISIS may even increase its presence beyond the Arab world into sub-Saharan Africa and Southwest Asia. And let's never underestimate the nation of Turkey. And of course, as you know, there was a recent attempted coup d'etat in Turkey. Now, it may surprise you, but there are many Turks who believe that they are descendants of Esau. So we must watch Turkey, as it has one of the most dynamic economies, one of the biggest armies in the Middle East. Turkey has one of the most strategic positions of any country in the world, as it sits between Europe, Russia, the Caucasus, and the Middle East. Now, did you absorb what I just said? This is important. Turkey has one of the most strategic positions of any country in the world because it sits between Europe, Russia, the Caucasus, and the Middle East. Also, Turkey serves as a major energy transportation hub because it connects the Middle East, Russia, and Europe. One of the biggest security threats that Turkey must contend with is Kurdish separatism, which has been energized by the war in Syria. For Turkey, dealing with the Syrian Kurdish movement takes priority. It takes priority even over the threat from the Islamic State. However, Turkey does not want to get involved in the Syrian war. And now Turkey faces another problem, because clearly the political situation in Turkey is not stable. We've had a coup attempt. It failed, but that coup attempt has left Turkey shaky and unsettled. Now, getting back to the Kurds, now this is a very important side note. I wanted to mention this. When you're talking about the Kurdish people, you're talking about 35 million Kurds, 35 million Kurds who inhabit this mountainous region, straddling the borders of Turkey, Iraq, Syria, Iran, and Armenia. Now, they make up the fourth largest ethnic group in the Middle East, but they have never obtained a permanent nation state. In all these various countries, they don't really like the Kurds because the Kurds want to establish their own country called Kurdistan. So there's unrest in Turkey, Iraq, Syria, even Iran and Armenia because of the Kurdish issue. Now, we'll talk about the Kurds and Kurdistan and who are the Kurds in prophecy. We'll talk about that in a future program. Let's get back to Russia and Turkey. Now, Russia and Turkey are enemies, but they do have important trade agreements with each other. And remember this, when we're talking about the Middle East countries, you often have these strange bedfellows. So you'll have enemies who at one level will issue all types of rhetoric against one another in the press, but then behind the scenes, they'll do a large amount of economic trade. Now, this is the case with Turkey and Russia. Now, Turkey is the second largest buyer of Russian natural gas, a significant importer of Russian oil and metals, and the largest buyer of Russian wheat and sunflower oil. A contentious relationship with Russia will bring enormous economic pain to the Turks. But to get right down to the crux of the matter regarding Turkey, it's all about power and who will hold that power. So the recent coup attempt that we witnessed in Turkey here just not that long ago, well, it is extremely important because, once again, it just shows how unstable the Middle East is. Turkey has a population of about 77, some say 79 million people, and what goes on in Turkey, it has collateral impact all throughout the Middle East, so we will continue to watch what's taking place in Turkey. Now, it's very important for me to now talk about Israel. Israel is always important. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just finished a trip to East Africa. He began the trip by going to Uganda, and then he went to Kenya, Rwanda, and Ethiopia. And it's the first visit by a sitting Israeli prime minister to the region since 1987. So why did he go to East Africa? Well, Israel is encircled by Arab countries that are all hostile to it. And so Israel is now looking at East Africa as an important source of potential allies just beyond the Middle East. It also wants to block Iran. It wants to block Iran from using the Greater Horn of Africa, a major shipping route. Now, they use the shipping route, the terrorists do, as a means of getting weapons to Gaza militants who are, of course, against Israel. Also, if Israel has better ties with Ethiopia, Kenya, and other East African countries, this gives Israeli intelligence officials cover to better monitor Sudan. And Israel is concerned about Sudan because Sudan provides a cover. It's a nest of sorts for terrorists who wish to hurt Israel. But of course, Israel's greatest concern is Iran. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said that he'll do everything necessary to safeguard the security of Israel. But then people are asking the question, why has Israel not reacted when it comes to Iran? Like when Israel threatened to attack Iranian nuclear sites back in 2012. Or here recently, and this is fascinating, former defense minister and former prime minister Ehud Barak leaked to Israeli television, and this was just a few months back, that Israel had planned to attack Iran on three separate occasions before canceling at the last moment. I'll go through this again. Back some months ago, former prime minister and former defense minister of Israel, Ehud Barak, he actually leaked to Israeli television that on three separate occasions over the past few years, Israel was about to attack Iran, but pulled back the attack at the last moment. Why? Why did they pull back the attack? Now, before we discuss that fascinating topic, I need to make sure that we talk about Psalm 83 and prophecy. So let's go to Psalm 83, beginning in verse 2. And this psalm is important because it talks about modern people at the time of the end. It's talking about tribes in the Middle East at the time of the end who gather together. It's a type of cabal. And these various tribes scattered around the Middle East, we would call them nations today, they plan an attack against Israel. Here is the prophecy. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you lifted up their head. They've taken crafty counsel against your people, Israel. They've consulted together against your sheltered ones, and they've said, come, let us cut them off. That's a reference to Israel. They want to cut Israel off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For these Arab tribes have consulted together with one consent, and they form a confederacy against Israel. These are the tribes, the tents of Edom, Turkey, the Ishmaelites, a reference to Saudi Arabia, Moab, part of Jordan and the western part of Iraq, and the Hagarites. This would be a reference mainly to the area of Syria to the north of Israel, Gebal, which is a reference to Lebanon, Ammon, which is a reference to Jordan and the Palestinians, and to Amalek. And again, the reference to Amalek is speaking of a vicious tribe that is scattered throughout the Middle East. And we're talking about the Palestinians, Amalek. We're talking about the Palestinian population, which is scattered even in Israel and in Jordan. And it talks about Philistia. Now, this is a reference to the Palestinians who occupy the Gaza Strip. Then it talks about the inhabitants of Tyre. Now, Tyre is a geographical reference to Lebanon today, but Tyre encompasses more than just Lebanon. But I'll have to wait for a future program to explain the reference of Tyre in prophecy. Now, during this time, we're talking about the time of the end when these various Arab nations seek to attack Israel. Europe is going to be involved. Europe will then invade the Middle East. It will invade the Holy Land, and it will actually take control of the city of Jerusalem. But to go into that prophecy, we'll have to wait until our next program. Now, you need to phone us at that toll-free number. We'll send you our special brochure. It's very simple, very clear. We give you all the scriptures concerning the 21 astounding facts about the kingdom of God. Many people don't really know the gospel message that Jesus Christ taught when he was in Galilee. The message about the kingdom of God. We give you 21 astounding facts about that kingdom. We'll send this to you free of charge. So phone us at that toll-free number, which is 1-877-449-6753. Ask for 21 facts. We'll understand what you need. Again, that toll-free number is 1-877-449-6753. It's an article about the 21 astounding facts concerning the kingdom of God. As well, we'll send you today's broadcast, which is message number 126. I'm Stephen LeBlanc for World Watch Today.
World Watch Today has been a presentation of the Church of God. To request literature or free audio CD of today's message, phone us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. That number again is 1-877-449-6753. And don't forget to visit us on the web to view our latest blog on world news and prophecy. Our web address is worldwatchtoday.org. That's worldwatchtoday.org. Thanks for listening.